Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning and welcome to Saturday Mornings with Joy Keyes. I'm your host, Joy Keyes, and today, January 24th, we're going to be talking about African American women and breast cancer. This is very disturbing to me because I've been researching the topic, and based on statistics from the Pennsylvania Department of Health, they did a study in 2005. Breast cancer was the most commonly diagnosed cancer among women in Pennsylvania. The incident rates for female breast cancer among blacks were slightly lower than the rates among whites, but the mortality rate for African Americans in the state of Pennsylvania and in the United States is higher than other ethnicity groups. So it seems, based on some other statistics also from the CDC, that African American women aren't getting breast cancer necessarily more than other races, but the mortality rate is higher for African American women. And some of the reasons that were discussed are the fact that maybe the women aren't going for follow-up appointments, maybe they're not getting mammograms at all, and also that they were getting diagnosed at a later stage. So when they do find something, maybe on their own, they're going and it's at a late stage. Some of the reasons or some of the risk factors are age, family history, overweight, obesity issues, alcohol issues, starting your menstrual period at a young age, starting menopause at a later age, being older at the birth of your first child, not breastfeeding, and never giving birth. This is from the African American Community Health Advisory Committee website that listed those risk factors. Today we're going to be having some guests with us. First, one of our guests is Ronna Walker. She's the president of Diamond Cutter LLC, which is a Philadelphia-based mobile wellness company. She's an experienced mental health therapist and wellness coach. She received her undergrad degree in psychology from Howard University, and she later obtained her master's in counseling psychology from Temple University. She also starred as one of the two life coaches on season one of NBC's groundbreaking Emmy Award-winning program, Starting Over, which aired daily. And the other guest we're going to have today is Dr. Taffy Anderson. She is a OBGYN, and she began her studies at the University of Pittsburgh, and she went on to receive her medical degree from Georgetown University. Dr. Taffy Anderson is here today representing the American Cancer Society. I'm going to bring on Ronna. Are you there?
Yes.
Hi, good morning. How are you?
Good. How are you?
Okay. I just want to say thank you for coming on the show today, dealing with African-American women and breast cancer. And I know you've been really busy and your schedule is kind of crazy and hectic, so I just want to say thank you for taking the time this morning.
You're welcome. It's my pleasure.
Hold on one more second. Let's see. I think we have one more caller here. Hold on. Good morning, caller. Hello?
Oh, it's me.
Hi, Dr. Anderson. Hi, yes. Good morning. Thank you very much.
Good morning. How are you, Joy?
Good, good. Thank you for coming on, to both of you. And I was just going over some of the statistics dealing with African-American women and breast cancer. And in my research, I was talking to the callers just saying that it's not that we're getting it more than our other ethnicities, but our mortality rate seems to be higher. And then I was talking about the different risk factors involved. I want to start with Dr. Anderson here. You're here representing the American Cancer Society, and I know you have a personal story related to breast cancer. Would you mind sharing that with us this morning?
Oh, no problem. Yes, I'm a breast cancer survivor of 7 years now, thank God.
Great.
My story is not unique to African American women. I actually, being a physician, you know, we're supposed to be early detectors and go in and make sure we get our mammograms. But see, as African American women, we have so much on our plate, and I know you can understand this, Joy.
Yes.
I was working 12-hour days, delivering babies. My husband is a pastor. I was a first lady of my church. So I really did not have time for myself. And I knew I had a breast mass. I'd had a prior breast biopsy a few years earlier, and it was benign. In my primary, I went in for a routine appointment, and my primary said, you know, I feel something in that area again, Taffy. And she said, why don't you go back to the surgeon? And I did, and the surgeon said, you know, this all feels very benign, but she told me the right thing. She said, let's watch it. If it starts to grow, then I need you to come back in here. Well, who do you think watched it? I did. And I watched it over about a year, a little bit more than that. I'm not going to give away everything. But by the time I went in, you know, I was already advanced stage 2 breast cancer, probably a stage 3.
Wow.
And I went through every one of the treatments for breast cancer. So all of what my patients had been going through, radiation, mastectomy, reconstruction, chemotherapy, I had the, and I'm going to call it opportunity, because of what I learned to help my patients during that time, I had the opportunity to experience everything. And I'm now 7 years out, and I'm thanking God for everything that I went through.
That's awesome. Very happy to have you here with us still. I'm sure your husband is ecstatic about you still being with, you know, us here.
Yeah.
This is a very emotional experience. And Rana, I know you've dealt with people at all stages in their life, dealing with all types of issues. What do you think some things that people can do when they get traumatic news like that? I mean, what suggestions would you have for people?
It varies. I mean, it depends on the individual and who their support system is, but I think the most immediate thing is to either go to your support system or to designate one immediately. I just know for me, I've been very, very blessed because I have very close family and friends who have supported me throughout the whole process. And I think the most important thing that I'm learning along this journey is that you have to listen to your intuition, know what you know. And for me, it's been very, very, very helpful. I have gone through at least 4 or 5 doctors to get to the right doctors for me, which has actually taken me to New Orleans to actually have surgery performed, because the doctors that I interacted with here were not the best for me, because I have gone a more, you know, natural route in terms of healing myself and nutrition and meditation and prayer, and it's just been very different. So the medical professionals that I've encountered here have not been as open-minded and supportive in terms of that. So it's been interesting.
Now, you mentioned that you were making some dietary changes and things. Were there any special foods that you're eating or any special exercises? You also mentioned meditating.
Mm-hmm. Well, for me, I'm now vegetarian. I was already eating a very healthy diet, but I've actually, you know, eliminated almost all sugar.
Okay.
Because places that I've visited, such as Optimum Health Institute in San Diego, and just other individuals have just talked about, there's controversy about this, but it says that sugar actually, cancer cells feed off of sugar, so it's best to, you know, avoid that. And as you know, refined sugar just in general is very toxic, so just cutting that out of the diet, a plant-based diet is what our body really is designed to eat, and it helps us to, you know, just do what our body needs to do at the highest level. When we're not putting in meats and other things that slow down the, you know, just the digestive process, and then we don't have putrefaction occurring, and it's just a whole bunch of things. So that, and of course exercise, and then there's something specifically called rebounding, which actually increases the lymph in your body. It helps the lymph system to actually move around. And so with the rebounding, it's like a small trampoline, and you're jumping up and down. And what it does is it triples the white blood count, which helps to fight disease and infection. So it's a lot of different things that, yeah, that you, if you're really
you
going
do.
To, yeah, if you really want to go if you want to feel like you're more, I think, a part of the process and you're really helping your body to heal and knowing that this will be your lifestyle from today moving forward is something key to do.
Now, where could somebody learn more about the rebound? And that sounds interesting. I mean, it sounds very powerful.
They can actually just Google it. I mean, I happened to learn about it because I went to the place in San Diego, but they can Google it because a lot of people are not familiar with it, and it helps to fight colds, and it helps people with MS and vertigo. It does a lot of different things.
Dr. Anderson, have you heard of the rebounding before?
No, I have not.
Did you do any of these types of things when you were going through the process? Did you change your diet or exercise? Or she also mentioned, I guess the emotional side is also important, because with most diseases, the better your outlook, I guess the higher your spirits. I mean, it's been proven that it helps you.
Well, what I did was, being a Christian, I tapped into my faith. And that's essentially what I did. I went to the Lord and I just said, what is going on? You know, my husband being a pastor, we engaged our church into prayer. And there's actually good data out there about prayer and medicine and healing.
Mm-hmm.
And the most famous one is done with patients that had heart attacks, and they randomized the patients to be prayed for, and there was a group that was not prayed for.
Right.
And this was in San Francisco, and basically the group that was prayed for had less hospital stays, less, I think it was recurrent heart attacks, and as well as depression and all of the side effects that go along with having a heart attack. And they did better than the control group that was not prayed for.
Yeah.
So me knowing that information, you know, and being a Christian, I got on my knees and I just said, Lord, help me.
Right.
And I was out for 2.5 years. I kind of did what Raina did, but I took it in the sense of I started journaling. And
mm-hmm.
I went to journal for my patients, because it was always, you know what, I'm going through this so I can help someone else. So my outlook
mm-hmm.
already was, it was initially woe is me, but then it was, okay, wait a minute, I can help somebody else.
Wow.
So I started journaling my 2.5 year journey, because I was very sick. I was the sickest patient I had ever given chemotherapy to. And so I, you know, talked about my nails and my hair and what I felt. And I really felt the emotional side was something that, in reading books that, you know, everyone, I was wondering, why am I feeling so emotional about losing my hair?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, for an African-American woman to lose her hair, that's a
yes.
big thing. So
our hair is a crown. Our hair is a crown.
Yeah.
I mean, every week, if you go to a black hair salon, they're like full to the till, overbooked.
Thank
I
you.
Mean, we're constantly struggling with that issue of our hair, you know, natural, straight, short, long. I mean, your teeth when you're younger, so to not even have any, you know, I can imagine it's, you know, it's a traumatic situation.
So I actually went into prayer. I after my treatments, I went into depression, and I said, you know what, this is happening to me. I didn't deny it. I said, I've got to live with this, but I can get help. And I went into Christian counseling for a year, almost 9 months, did not work. Then I wrote my book, and I'm now looking back and I'm realizing all of that was, and I have changed my diet. It's hard to do that. It's hard to continue to exercise. And I thank God that Raina can do this, but I really, it's a day-to-day struggle for me.
Right. Well, every case I'm sure is different. You know, like you were at a certain stage, you know, she's at a certain stage. So I think the person of best suggestion would to talk to their medical professional about what things are good for them. And also, like Rana said, listening to yourself, listening, I guess, to your inner voice about what's best for you. You know, she's taking a certain route that some people may not want to take in terms of the holistic aspect. But you still have to listen to what's best for you, because that'll make you the happiest, which will support, I think, your healing process.
Right.
If you're happy and you're at peace with your choices, you know.
Well, one thing about breast cancer, it's an individual. What happens and what works for you may not work for the next individual.
Right.
And it's good that Raina and I are sharing our stories, because people should take away maybe bits and pieces, talk to their doctor, and see what works for them. Surely a healthy diet, exercise, you know, is going to, it would help all cancers.
Yeah, so it's going to help any part of your life, period. Exercise and a good diet will help with the issue of diabetes, with high blood pressure, all these issues that African Americans seem to have at a higher rate. That basic exercise and eating healthy will help with most of those issues, you know.
Absolutely.
Now, Rhonda, I just want to give you opportunity to talk a little bit about your company also. You're the president of Diamond Cutter. And are you still working on your company now? Are you just focusing on yourself? Do you have people working with you?
Yeah, well, my mom is my business partner. And we started the company in 99. And as you know, I was one of the two life coaches on Starting Over. And so all of the work that we did with the women, my mother and I created the plans, and I was the face that you saw on television. But before that, we actually did a documentary with Discovery Health Channel where we did the same exact thing. So Diamond Cutter, although it's a small company, we've, I guess, been able to impact a lot of people on a national and international level being on television. And so now what we're primarily doing is phone coaching with clients. And we're looking to actually, hopefully in the next 6 months, we have a project that we're working on where we'll be working with some men, which we've done some work with men before, and it's been very, very, very wonderful just to create a place for men to be able to express themselves, to emote, to feel that they're in a place where they can be vulnerable and to get some clarity about who they are and what their sense of purpose is. So I'm really excited about that.
That's great. Men, you know, men also can get breast cancer. Based on the Philadelphia Department of Health in 2004, 1,800 men were diagnosed with breast cancer, and about 800 men died of breast cancer.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's something that's definitely not talked about. I didn't know until I was older that men could get breast cancer. It just wasn't in my mind. And I don't know if either of you know, are there things that men can do? Should men do monthly checkups on themselves? Should men ask their provider to check them when they go in for their yearly checkups?
Basically, with men, everybody should be doing self-breast exams, but in particular, there may be some risk factors for the men.
Okay.
If they have a positive family history, meaning that their sisters have developed breast cancer or their mother has developed breast cancer.
Okay.
There's a breast cancer, what we call gene. It's a gene mutation that's out there. And if you have two or three sisters or your mom has developed breast cancer, that's going to put you at risk, believe it or not. So, they need to share their history with their primaries, and their primaries will be doing breast exams on them. Men that are overweight, in particular in the African-American community, we are overweight, both women and men. So, yes, that increases your risk for breast cancer. Anyone that's had radiation to the chest wall or anywhere in your body, that can increase your risk for breast cancer.
Okay.
And any other lung cancer or colon cancer. So those are things that the men should look out for if they have increased risk factors. But all men in general should do breast exams.
Okay, well, that's good to know. Definitely, I know I have a daughter, and I've already spoken to her about the issue of checking her breasts on a monthly basis. And myself, I will say I'm guilty of not every single month doing it, but I try to do it. I've had a baseline mammogram myself. And I wanted to mention to our callers that the Philadelphia Department of Health has a program called Healthy Woman Program, and they offer free mammograms and pap tests. If you qualify, if you're 40 to 64 years old, you have no insurance or limited insurance, and you have low to moderate income, the callers can call 1-800-215-7494. Again, 1-800-215-7494. And inquire about getting, they have free clinical breast exams, mammograms. They also do pelvic exams and pap smears, and they offer education on how to do a proper breast self-examination. They also, in some cases, offer follow-up diagnostic care if your results are found to be abnormal. And again, the number is 1-800-215-7494, and it's called Healthy Woman. I see we have some callers. I want to take a couple calls here. I see someone calling from 610 area code. Good morning, caller. Can you hear me?
Yes, I think that's me.
Hi, how are you? What's your name?
Hi, Felicia Phillips.
Hi, good morning, Felicia. Thank you for calling. Do you have any questions for our two guests this morning?
Sure. I have a comment for Ron. I just wanted you to know that I love you. I loved you on Starting Over. I was on maternity leave with my daughter and watched the show every day and missed you when you were gone.
Thank you.
So happy to hear from you and to see that you're still doing what you do best. And I love you. My family loves you. Everybody loves you.
Thank you so much.
So good to hear from you. And I will be praying for you and everything and wish you and your mother success.
Thank you so much.
My question, I actually have two questions. The first question is, you know, listening to Dr. Anderson, you talked about and you said you weren't going to give it all away, but you said that you watched and it seems like there was some time in between you observing what was going on and actually taking action. And you're a doctor. So how do we get women to take this seriously, to understand? You hear it all the time, early detection is the key, and yet we don't move when we should have. And you said you were really, really sick in advance. So how do we get women to really take this seriously, to examine their breasts, to notice any changes and to report it immediately and take action so that, you know, they can start whatever treatment sooner?
What you have to do is you have to bug your girlfriends, your mother, and your grandmother. Did you get your mammogram? Have you gone for your yearly breast exam? And that's what you have to do. Just like we get on the phone and we say, hey, you know what? The best sale is going on at such and such store. And you know what? I'm coming to pick you up. Let's go. We got to do the same thing with the mammograms, let's schedule our annual gynecologic exams together, Mom. You guys do them on the same day. In my office, you'd be surprised how many Caucasian women that come together with their daughters. I'm alarmed. Where we don't do that in the African community, we go to the store together, we'll go shopping together, but we don't do things together when it comes to our health. And that would help. Also, shows like Joy has, people that are willing to come out to say, hey, you know what, I made a mistake. And that's what I do. I go around the country, I talk, and I really tell people this is what happened to me. And I'm the typical African-American woman, and let's not do this again. Mm-hmm. Let's not have another statistic like me. You have to be willing to expose yourself and what has happened.
Okay.
Yeah. Thank you
and
very
then
much.
I have one other question. And it will be for both of you, since Rana, you're a life coach, and Dr. Anderson, you're a doctor. So for you both to experience this and possibly, well, you've already talked about it, Dr. Anderson, of dealing with other women that have gone through this, what was the impact for you to now sit here and say, you know, I may have coached people through this, and now I'm coaching myself through this, or, you know, I've, you know, helped my patients go through this, and now it's me, and I have to receive everything that I gave out.
Well, Felicia, it's so good that you asked that question, because I have had to be my own coach through this process, along with my mother, Cherry Walker, who's my business partner and best friend. She and my father, I can't not mention Reggie Walker. So they, and my brother, Chaka Walker, so I have to mention the whole family. They've been there steady throughout. And what I've had to do, which is really important, which is what I always talk to women about, is going back to your intuition, knowing what you know, follow your heart, and listen to yourself. I have had so many doctors tell me, oh, that's nothing, that's normally nothing. I said, this is a different change in my body, and I pay very close attention to my body. Mm-hmm. I said, I need you to test that anyway. They came back, oh, you're right, that's cancer. I did some natural healing with some herbs. I said, I believe the tumor is gone. Oh, that's a waste of time. We don't need to do another mammogram or ultrasound. We just need to go into surgery. I said, no, I need you to do another test. They wouldn't do it. I went somewhere else. The tumor is gone. So if I can say anything, it's know what you know. Don't let anyone, I don't care how many degrees they have, or whatever experience they've had, because every case is different. That you stand up for yourself and you know what you know and you stand firm. And if you feel as though that professional, they're used to what they're used to and they know what they know. So I congratulate them on what they have studied and what they know and what they're experts in. But the things that
right.
they don't know, that you know in your heart and your intuition and your mind that you've actually gone through, listen to yourself. Listen to yourself and make sure you follow through. And if that doctor, you know, is not able or willing at that point to say, let me open my mind and let me let this patient have this extra test or do whatever she thinks is necessary for her peace of mind or for her health, then find another doctor. So those are the things that I would just strongly recommend. And I think you probably have a good idea from seeing me on the show. I'm very proactive. And so when this happened, I started right away in terms of researching. And I have been researching. In fact, I feel like I now have a PhD from all the research I've done.
I'm sure.
Crazy. From Ronald Walker University.
Exactly.
But it's been a beautiful experience. And because of this, it's now helping me to be able to help other women, because I know how challenging it is to still have to live your life every day, doing, you know, going to work, going to the gym, socializing, I mean, going on with your everyday life and saying, wow, but this is still something that I have to deal with, and being able to marry the two successfully is really key when you know what you know in terms of listening to yourself and your support system.
Well, thank you.
Thank you very much.
God bless
thank
both
you.
Of you. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Felicia. Yeah, that's very important, listening to your heart, because even myself with other medical issues that I've had people dismiss me or not want to take the time when you're talking to them, and they come in, you know, to the room 5-10 minutes, and they just want to do this quick, you know, exam of whatever's going on, and they don't see, and you're talking, like, it's like you're talking to a wall. I mean, Dr. Anderson, your doctor, I'm sure you're not like this.
You see, I haven't said a word yet.
But I also have a good primary. My primary doctor, I'll mention her name. Her name is Abba Barden. She's an excellent doctor. She's won awards. She has an excellent bedside manner. I love her. Again, her name is Dr. Abba Barden. She's at Pennsylvania, University of Pennsylvania and Presbyterian Hospital. And she has a wonderful bedside manner. And she has called me herself. I don't have to, you know, get a call from a nurse. But I have had other experiences where people have dismissed me when, you know, I've inquired about something where I just feel like, well, that's, well, are you sure? I mean, maybe it's this or, you know, and how do we, I mean, that's something that African-American people historically have an issue with, trusting their healthcare providers. Either you want to speak on that issue?
I think every person is unique, and every doctor is unique.
Exactly.
And what I say is, you have to have someone that you're going to fit with, that, first of all, that you're going to be able to trust. And then at the flip side, you do have to understand that that doctor has been trained, and, you know, a lot of people will come to me and say, well, they didn't do this test, or they didn't get the MRI, or they didn't get the CAT scan, or they didn't get the ultrasound. And what I try to explain to them is say, okay, so your girlfriend did get the MRI, but in the information that you gave that doctor, it doesn't sound like it was indicated. So it's not that the doctor is ignoring you, but you have to understand the training that they have had based on what you're telling them in your history and what they may find on physical exam. They're doing what they think is best for you based on their training. Now, sometimes that's not going to fit with some patients, and that's when you go to another doctor that fits with you. You see what I mean? All people are not alike. I try to approach patients in a way where, okay, I listen to what they're saying, but then I say to them, okay, you've already walked in and you've told me you want an ultrasound, but you haven't told me anything about your history.
Right.
Then we talk about their history, and if I'm not going to give them an ultrasound, I surely will explain to them what I think is going on and why we don't need it at this time. Or I'll say we need it, or we may need another study. You see what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Well, see, I think that the patients would appreciate that if like you said, you explain, because then it's, okay, the doctor heard me, they're responding, and I think patient might, well, I know I would appreciate why you didn't you know, call for the exam or test that
right.
I thought I might need, because, you know, I didn't go to school and I don't have the skills that you as a doctor have and to know what to look out for. And sometimes just being, you know, scared or nervous, you might, I don't know what they call it. Like you think, well, you read all these things on the internet and you become overwhelmed and then you go into your doctor and you load the doctor with all this stuff. I see we have a caller. Let me take this caller here from 215 area code. Good morning, caller.
Good morning.
Good morning. How are you this morning? What's your name?
My name is Beverly Bay.
Hi, Beverly Bay.
Hi.
Do you have a question for our guest this morning?
I just have a comment. A lump was found in my breast when I was 30. I'll be 60 soon. When I was 35, and at that age, you're not having mammograms and so forth. But once the lump was found, it was Christmas holidays, and I was immediately panicked. I had two young children. I was scared to death.
Mm.
But I went to the hospital, and they scheduled me for testing, and it was benign. So I guess I just would like to say people should really be aware if they feel something or they see something, go to their doctor as soon as they know. And many times, you know, it doesn't have to end up being breast cancer or something that's serious, but you definitely have to see your doctor.
That's great. I'm glad that you,
make that decision.
That's good. Did you have any questions, though, for us this morning, or you just wanted to share your story?
I know. I just wanted to make that comment. We'll have a specific question.
Okay. Well, thank you very much.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
That's important. Go ahead, Dr. Anderson.
No, your caller is right. Actually, probably 60 to 80% of breast masses are benign. And, of course, it's going to depend on your age. Breast cancer increases as we get older.
Mm-hmm.
But there are, in particular, in African-American women, we don't get breast cancer, as you were saying earlier in your show. We don't get breast cancer as often as Caucasian women. But in the age 30 to 40 range, we are the leading breast cancer, I hate to say victims, but in age 30 to 40. So if an African-American woman comes in with a breast mass and she's in her 30 to 40s, she may be treated differently than a Caucasian woman that would come in. So,
okay.
You know, I would immediately go ahead and, get a ultrasound or mammogram in her, wherein in a Caucasian woman, because their rate is not as increased as ours during that age, I may say I'm going to see you back in a month.
Mm-hmm.
You see,
I have a cyst in one of my breasts, and I've had it since before my daughter was born. And that's why they wanted to do a baseline mammogram, and, you know, there was nothing found or anything like that.
Right.
But,
right.
I mean, I was in my 20s, so, and I still, you know, get checked, and the doctor, you know, checks me, you know, and I that's why it's important for me, because when I did have her and I was breastfeeding, then I it seemed like it might have gotten bigger or something, but I don't know, just because I was breastfeeding, you know, but so they were really trying to keep an eye on it and things like that, but...
Yeah.
You know, it is important, but, you know, when sometimes we don't want to hear the news. I mean, how do you get over that fear that, okay, maybe you did find something? I mean, you said yourself you waited. And, Rhonda, maybe you could speak to that. How do you deal with fear with this type of situation?
Well, it depends on what your outlook is. For me, I believe that everything happens for a reason. I believe that I called this experience into my life so that I could learn and grow. It just helped me to, it's been a wake-up call for me. It's helped me to understand who I am, what I really want in life, what's really important to me, how I want to move forward from this point on. And it's just another, experience to help me to help other women to be advocates for themselves, to understand the importance of just doing what you know is right for you. I think that's the most important message that I can give to women is, you know, you have to be responsible for yourself. It's not up to a doctor. It's not up to anyone else outside of you. It's your personal responsibility. And so for you to be able to, I guess, first of all, if you can begin to step into your power and to realize that, you know, the fear may be there, but you have to feel that fear and go through it or become paralyzed and then end up with the consequences. So you have two choices. It's to, you know, decide, am I worth it? You know, do I love myself enough to be able to go through this, and to understand that there's a blessing in all of this. And, you know, I've never had the woe is me attitude. I've had some days when I've been depressed about it, but I've never had the woe is me attitude because I believe that I called this experience into my life so that I could grow from it. And I definitely believe that all dis-ease is a manifestation of some spiritual imbalance. Mm-hmm. And as a mental health therapist, working with people and working with their issues and not setting up correct boundaries, taking on their toxicity and not releasing that effectively, I believe is what impacted me the most, because everyone that knows me says, you're super healthy, you exercise, you do this, you journal, you do blah, blah. Mm-hmm. Yes, I do. But clearly there was some imbalance there. And what I learned from that was that I have to learn to nurture myself even more and to still nurture others, but in a more balanced way, not to the point of depletion. And as African-American women, we tend to give, and not do enough of receiving. And so it's been a wonderful thing for me. And I think as you learn to receive help and love and support and assistance and guidance, that some of that fear will dissipate. Mm-hmm. And those are the things that I would really, you know, encourage women to do. But to understand that everything truly happens for a reason. I mean, to go into the woe is me victim mode is not very helpful.
No.
If it's something that someone needs to do for a moment or two, fine, but you don't want to stay there because it doesn't help you to move forward.
That's true. I would agree with you on that. I think in my life, in dealing with problems or issues that I've had, my support system, my family, my friends have been very important, and their energy has pushed me to be more proactive, you know, about my health, and proactive about my career, proactive about a lot of things, and just take the risk.
Mm-hmm.
And you never know what you're going to gain from that. It's just amazing the blessings that I've gotten from being walking with that. I might be afraid, but I just like, you know what, I'm just going to do it. And I'm one of the examples recently, I went and I got an oral HIV exam. I heard about the rapid HIV exam. I mean, this is not to do with cancer, but just in terms of trying to find out about yourself and health. And I was like, well, what exactly is it? And this and that, and they explained to me. So I think in all areas of your life, it's important to be proactive. And like you said, you're going to have fear, but just walk with it. And then when you get to the other side, it's like a relief, you know, and that you do have a lot of power over your life.
Yeah.
You have so much power over your life and over others. You don't even realize the people that you touch sometimes when you're going through these things, because you're so wrapped up in what you're trying to deal with, but you're at the same time still part of a society, and you're affecting the people around you, and you inspire them without even knowing it to maybe go get help or to do something new in their life. Dr. Anderson, you mentioned a book. Now, did you actually write a book about your experience, or was it just a personal journal?
Yes. No, through my journaling, one day, one of my girlfriend, who called me every day to see how I was doing, I was just, you know, reading her my journal about what was going on. She said, I think that's a book. And I said, no, this is for my patients. And she said, you know, I think you need to really pray about this, because what I was doing, not only was I journaling what was happening to me, I was journaling the emotional side, and then I was starting to pray and see answers to my prayers. So I was writing the answers to my prayers, and, you know, all of the things that I knew about God, or what I thought I knew about God and medicine, and, you know, why would this happen to me? I was a good person. I was serving the Lord. I you know, why would God allow this to happen to me? All the misconceptions I had about being a Christian, and if you're a good Christian, then these things won't happen to you. And I knew I had a breast mass and was even praying that God would take it away supernaturally.
I'm sure you were.
And I had seen a lady who had ovarian cancer and basically was cured with prayer. And I said, you know, God, you can do all these things for me too. So what I started to do as I was reading the Bible, I realized, you know what? Oh, no. I had, you don't dictate to God. God is in charge of this universe. You are a little speck in this universe. And who do you think you are that you can't suffer? Look at Job. Look at, you know, look at Paul. So I started to realize, hey, wait a minute, I'm in darkness, which is breast cancer. Clearly was in darkness. But I was learning treasures about the Lord Jesus Christ and what God was doing in my life. And so I called the book Treasures in Darkness.
And, Treasures in Darkness. And can people buy that book somewhere now?
Yeah, actually, if you get on Amazon, if you go on Amazon and just put in my name or put in Treasures in Darkness, you can buy it. You can go into Borders or any Christian bookstores. Some of the Christian bookstores actually have it in, or you can have them order it. It's by Moody Publishers. So, yeah.
And that's wonderful.
It's a dark state, but I learned the treasures about, you know, some of the scriptures that came out to me now. You know, everything, as Raina was saying, you know, I didn't cause this to happen, but it has surely worked out for my good in the long run.
That's good. I have another caller here. Let's take this caller. Good morning. Good morning, caller. Can you hear me? Hello? Well, I guess they might have hung up. Okay. So tell us the name again of the book. It's Treasures?
It's called Treasures in Darkness, A Doctor's Personal Journey Through Breast Cancer.
And this is by Dr. Taffy Anderson. So if you look up her name on Amazon or you look up the name of the book, you should be able to find it. And I'll try to put it on the website also for people. If they're downloading the archive, they'll be able to see the name of the book and how to access it. I want to mention again about this Healthy Woman program that the Pennsylvania State is doing. They're offering free clinical breast exams, free mammograms, free pelvic exams and pap smears, and also, depending on your results, follow-up diagnostic care. It's called Healthy Woman, and the number that you can call is 1-800-215-7494 to find out if you're eligible for these services. One of our callers mentioned that she was 35 and she found a lump. And a lot of the readings are saying if you're over 40, if you're over 40. Dr. Anderson, maybe you can speak to this. Should those ages be changed? Because you were mentioning for African-American women, especially between the ages of 30 and 40, that when we come in, it's something of concern.
Well, we used to have the baseline mammogram at age 35, and what happened was we were getting, the breast is still very dense between age 30 to 40, and it's still dense at over 40, but it's very dense, and they're subject to hormonal changes. So we were getting more abnormal mammograms. Patients were going for biopsies, and they were benign. So we were increasing our risk for biopsies. So it has been pushed forward to age 40. However, again, medicine is very unique. If a patient comes in who's between age 30 to 40, depending on the race, depending on the size of the mass and how it feels, most women are going to go ahead and get a mammogram plus an ultrasound, because the mammogram may not pick up the mass that you're feeling, but the ultrasound will be able to pick it up, and it's targeted to that area. So, again, it's really unique to the individual, how big the mass is, how it feels, you know, it doesn't have irregular borders. But most women who come in that age range will go ahead and get some sort of screening done or diagnostic test done if something is felt. But the routine screening will pretty much, unless there's a positive family history, and in particular, first-degree relative, a sister or mother, and depending on your race, if you're African-American, we may go ahead and order early mammogram. But, again, most of it's going to be at age 40 now.
Okay.
Joy, can I add something to that?
Sure.
There is a woman I met recently whose daughter was just diagnosed with stage 0 breast cancer, DCIS, at the age of 22. So, as Dr. Anderson is saying, I think that all women who are doing breast exams and should be doing them on a monthly basis, if they feel something is going on, they need to go in right away too, because there are alarming numbers of women who are well under 40 who are now being diagnosed with breast cancer.
Yes, so that's important to note, because I know a lot of health insurance, I work for a health insurance company, I'm not going to mention the name, but we had a big push to try to get women to get their mammograms, because we had a large constituency of members not getting their mammograms, and we tried to offer incentives to them to come out. And I've been at some of the events, and fortunately, the women did come out, and some people, you know, they had to go back for further exams because a lump was found.
Wow.
So it's so important, and so many women don't get their mammograms. I don't know. I want to know what's going on with me. You know, I want to know what's going on with my body. And if I can't walk, I can't talk, you know, what can I do? And I just feel like your time is so short on earth, in a sense, but you're so powerful. So to try to take advantage of that by taking care of yourself, you know, by getting the different exams that you need to get. What do you guys see for the future for yourselves? Talk with Rana. You mentioned that your mother and yourself, you're going to get into helping men, you said.
Yeah.
And you're doing phone coaching. Now, how does that work? Somebody could call your company. Is there a phone number for somebody to call? Could you give that out?
Sure. 215-382-1303. That's 215-382-1303. Or they can go to www.diamondcutterllc.com. So they can go to the website, and that's diamondcutterllc.com, or they can call the 215 number directly. So that's part of it. Another part of it is actually still doing speaking engagements and doing workshops and seminars. And there are some other things that I am currently working on. And I think right now I'm doing a two-year course, which will allow me to become a licensed spiritual practitioner. And with that work, I'll be able to incorporate more of that into my practice as a wellness coach. But I, too, have started many books and have done 10 pages each. So now at this point, I actually started journaling again. I started journaling when I was 7, so it's been something I've done throughout my life. But just recently, on my 41st birthday, I went skydiving, and a week later I was diagnosed. And so 2 days after being diagnosed, I started journaling about this experience. And that, for me, is something that I have done and then recently stopped, and I'm starting again. I started again just in terms of going through this journey, and because my journey, I think, is a lot different just in terms of the approach that I've taken, and based on what all the tests have shown, I will not have to have chemo or radiation. I will not have to take tamoxifen. I will be able to go through the surgery. And I'm really, 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 really blessed that I found this place in New Orleans. And it sounds crazy, but it's like Disney World for cancer patients, for breast cancer patients. And the way they treat
Disney
you,
World.
It is. It's so, I mean, it's like coming to the light at the end of the tunnel after going through the journey with all of the doctors I've encountered along my way who have just not been where I am. And to find this place where, I mean, I cried when I got on the phone when they were just like, we're here to help you. We will arrange your travel. We will pick you up for your appointments. You know, we have a place where your family can stay for free when you come. I mean, it's like Disney World. It really is. And this center in New Orleans, they only do surgeries using your own body fat, which is the healthiest thing possible, because I then did research on implants and how they carry 36 heavy metals and how toxic they are, how they lead to autoimmune diseases. I mean, the list goes on and on and on. And having done the research and then talked to doctors about the toxicity in implants, whether saline or silicone, because the saline are encased in silicone, they dismissed me. And I think they didn't realize I wasn't their average patient. So being able to find a place where they're just like, you know, we understand, and reading the testimonials, I mean, women there have just, I mean, they said, you not only helped my body, but you healed my heart and soul. So
do you
want
to give the name of this center, or are you just, okay.
Yes, it's a breast center for reconstructive surgery. It's in New Orleans, and these doctors, they care about you. They are very thorough, and the aesthetics of it are very important. And, Joy, you know me, that in terms of aesthetics, I still want to look as good as possible. So coming out of this is dramatic enough, and I just want to make sure that my body looks as whole, as close to whole as it did before I went in.
Yeah.
And this is what they specialize in.
Okay.
Yeah.
And,
so that'll
Dr.
be part of the book, too.
That'll be part of your book, okay.
Yeah.
And Dr. Anderson, are you planning on writing any other books about medical issues or personal issues?
what I just contributed a chapter to Moody. They're actually coming out with a issues for African American women in 2009. In the fall of 2009, I did the health chapter on obesity and looking at certain cancers that are related to it and medical illnesses, like you were talking about earlier, diabetes and hypertension, and it's for women Christians, and we're talking about prayer and looking at ways that we can go to God to get one motivated and to keep that motivation. So it's a Christian-based book and using scripture to help us eat better and to exercise and to do it for the glory of God. And that book should be coming out in September. But I've actually decided, when I initially went back to work after breast cancer, I went back full force. And I believe that stress probably causes a good degree of cancers in women as well as probably men.
I totally agree.
And I mean, just looking at the data of what stress does and the hormone levels that increase, cortisol, I know before breast cancer I was working 12-hour days, probably, you know, home 1 or 2 days a week. And you can imagine an obstetrician, a woman. I thank God I don't have children, but, you know, what was my marriage like? And, you know, I used to go down the line. So I decided when I went back, I would just do gynecology, and I was right back to the 12-hour days. And I said,
wow.
If I didn't learn anything, then, you know, I'm going to be stupid the rest of my life. So I said I left my job, and I decided that I would only work part-time. I love medicine. I said, but you know what? I have to think of my health. So now, and then I went on the speaking circuit and all that, and that even started to encompass me. And I just stopped. After October Breast Cancer Month, I decided that I'm not going to speak. I'm just going to work part-time. I cut all my speaking engagements, and I'm telling you, I feel the best that I've ever felt.
Wow. So it's important to be able to say no sometimes.
Yes.
When things come to you. I mean, they probably look like blessings, great opportunities, but like you said, the stress of doing all these things that probably you might love to do are actually making you sick.
Yeah.
You know, I'm a mother. Yeah. I'm a mother, and I'm, you know, I have a regular job, and I'm into other things, but I've had to cut back myself, and sometimes I have to tell people no, and they don't know why.
Right.
You know, like, don't you have time to do? No, I can't. I'm sorry. I can't. Or one thing that's been very hard for me, I guess, is trying to do, you know, the superwoman mode and asking for help from other people to do things, even little things like, okay, could you go to the supermarket for me, or could you walk this, you know, deliver this letter for me, or trying to use other resources in my life that has helped lower my stress, because I was trying to do everything and be everywhere at all the time. And I want to be here for my daughter. She's still growing. She's in high school. And I want to be here for myself to try to continue to live a longer life. And that's something I've learned in the last couple of years, I would say in the last 5 years, trying to say no. I can't.
Well, I have learned.
I can't do it.
Yeah, this is the first interview I've done since October.
Wow,
and
thank you so much.
The last 2 years I was all over, and I just said, after my husband looked at me and he said, this is not going to work. You know, you're back to square one. You may not be in the office all the time, but you're doing interviews, you know, because with books, they want you to come out, book signings and all this. And I was very happy, but at the same time, I'd come home exhausted. And I said, now what other cancer do I need to get in order for me to have to write another book about that to say I didn't listen to the first time?
Yeah.
So I'm just working in the office part-time, and I'm enjoying every minute of it. And, you know, I'm listening to Raina, and, you know, a lot of times as doctors, we don't have time. We're in and out of that room. But I can tell you, even my practice is making a difference.
Oh, that's wonderful.
Oh, yeah, I can sit down and I can listen. I can put my pen down. I can look at patients in the face. I'm not rushed. And it's just made medicine so much better.
Wow. That's great. I want to thank both of you very, very much for coming today, calling in, sharing your stories, you know, your fears, your hopes, and your futures with the listeners today. I want to encourage the listeners to share the website, www.blogtalkradio.com/joykeys. Again, www.blogtalkradio.com/joykeys with others so that they can learn about this important issue of breast cancer. Again, the Healthy Woman Program, you can call in 1-800-215-7494 to try to get free exams, mammograms, and pap smears. Thank you so much, ladies, today for calling in. And thank you to the callers for calling in. Next week, we're going to be talking with Bill Holmes. He's a writer, author, and poet. And the book he has out currently is called One Love. You can find his book on Amazon.com. But he will be here next Saturday at 11 o'clock. My name is Joy Keyes, and thank you so much. Have a wonderful day.